Blog Talk Radio.
If you could be a superhero, would you be Justice Guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with 3 kids and no job, to run off to f***ing Hawaii with a doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die. Especially that motherfucker Bob. Then you would be Justice Guy.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host Matt Marrero along with
Anthony Sinandres.
Who loves that song, don't you?
So much.
Just so much. Oh, if you don't know who that is, that's Stephen Lynch doing his song Superhero Live, where at certain points before that, he would just ask people in the audience, hey, call out a name of what you think would be a great superhero. And he just went with it. It was great. But at that point, he just brought up, I think he brought up Justice Guy just to bring him up. But yeah, no, Stephen Lynch, awesome comedian. But yeah, and today we talk about comic books, superheroes specifically. Look at that, ties in. Yeah, we're talking about Batman Eternal. We're talking about Batman Eternal issue 11, Silver Surfer issue 3, and then comic book related news. Not really rumors, actually. Well, a little bit of rumors, but mostly actual, you know, news that's been commented on. And boy, is it terrible. But anyway, let's talk about something that's not terrible right now. Oops, wait, no, I'm sorry. Batman Eternal 11. Let's stick to terrible as the theme. Actually, it wasn't even that bad. The issue with this issue is just that it's one of those things where, you know, if you've heard our show, you've heard about a few issues of Eternal. You know, if you're reading it, you probably know that there are some things that you just don't feel like they need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those issues.
Absolutely.
Where it feels as if someone told me in one sentence what happened, I could easily not have bought the issue.
I mean, it does nothing to progress the main story forward, in my opinion, anyway.
No, and I hate to say this, you know, too many issue puns, but that's an issue. It really is. No, it really is, though, when you mm-hmm. are, and we've talked about this before, but that's a problem where apparently, well, from what you say, they sucked you back in with the last issue. They made you want to stick around, and then here we are.
And now I'm being pushed out again.
Exactly, and then 2 issues later, you're going to be pulled right back in. And also, if you want to talk to us about any of the comics we're talking about, or the rumors when they come up, you know, definitely, you know, call us. The number is 718-664-9468. The number, again, being 718-664-9468. And hey, if you want to listen, that's cool too. But, you know, I mean, definitely, you know, call, talk to us about your opinion, because hey, your opinion counts too. But right now you're going to hear our opinion. So Eternal is not that good, I think. I think it's just slowly declining, and then brief spikes, not even crazy spikes to make you think I need to stay forever. Just you've intrigued me spikes, but only slightly.
Exactly.
And then this happens, where, by the way, I know you complained about the art. I enjoy the art. Not necessarily for Batman, though. Honestly, it's weird. Whenever they showed them in Brazil, I enjoyed the art for some reason. It
really?
Felt natural. It felt normal in Brazil. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But it felt normal in Brazil. However, when we jump to other places, where we jump back to Gotham and wherever, I'm not a big fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Something about it just seems off.
See, my thing with the art is I don't think it's bad art, because I don't really think any art is bad art per se.
Right.
But it does not fit Batman. I honestly don't think it would fit any superhero, unless you're talking maybe like the independent company books. But for mainstream, like Batman, Superman, I can't see this art really working out for any of them.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's definitely very independent. It reminds me of, I don't know if you've read the original Mask comic books, but it reminds me of the original Mask in terms of, you know, just the way it's drawn and everything. Which, again, is why I'm fond of it, but yeah, not for Batman. Also, we have ourselves a caller, so I'm going to patch him or her through. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Hello, caller? Oh, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello, caller. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Oh, hey. All right. What's your name?
My name is Gary.
Oh, hello, Gary. So we know Gary, everyone. We're gonna
hey,
actually cut Gary off. No. Hey, Gary. How are you? So, Gary, so I assume you've been reading Eternal.
Yes, I have, actually.
Okay, all right, because Gary is a big Batman fan, aren't you? Uh-oh. Is Gary?
Yes, I am.
Gary, have
Batman
you died?
Fan.
Okay, all right, I thought Gary died. Just, we're talking about how bad Batman is, and all of a sudden he just drops dead. All right, so, Gary, how did you feel about this week's Eternal?
Batman Eternal?
Yeah, this week.
I mean, this week. I don't know. I feel like it's just Scott Snyder. Like, I don't know. I think that, like, compared to the main title, Batman, I feel like it's just Batman Eternal is kind of like his leeway because Scott Snyder was forced to do Zero Year, so I think that Batman Eternal is kind of like his leeway out, kind of. So I think that you kind of see more Scott Snyder's ideas in Eternal rather than Zero Year.
What do you think of the pacing of it, though?
Or do you even like his ideas? Because that's the thing, because that's what I really want to know. I want to know what other people think about the ideas that are being presented. Also, as Anthony mentioned, the pacing.
Well, his ideas, the thing is that, like, I like his ideas, though, because he brings, like, a more, kind of like an old-school approach to the New 52. Meanwhile, New 52 is supposed to be, like, the new thing where they kick out the old, bring in the new, but he still brings some of that old school feeling to Batman, like that darkness, that kind of detective mode thing, and I like that
right.
in his comic books, especially in Eternal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, no, I do like those aspects, but like Anthony mentioned, pacing, how do you feel about, because I think, honestly, the most that we really complain about Eternal is the pacing, which is an issue because it's being put out on a weekly basis. So how do you feel about the pacing? Do you think that they're either too slow or with the way that they're making, in our opinion, some jarring cuts? We consider them jarring because right now we currently don't know what's happening with Tim. For about,
that's true.
I want to say, yeah, so for about, it's been about, what was it, maybe a month?
Like five
and,
issues.
Yes.
It's like a month, I think.
Yeah, so about a month and a week. So how do you feel about those? Do you agree? Do you disagree?
I would have to agree with them. And did Anthony say this?
I'm sorry.
What, about the pacing issues?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
We both.
Yeah,
did.
Yeah. I need to agree with him on that because I feel as if within a month you should at least say something rather than leave the people hanging, like saying, okay, what's going on? Like it's been a month, so can we at least know what's going on? So.
All right, so you are a fan of... Of course, we wouldn't disagree with you when you say you're a fan of the detective work, because obviously. But at the same time, with that pacing, I mean, can't you... could you at least agree that that could easily be something that would completely ruin the book? And I say ruin if only because you're a Batman fan. You're not seeing a lot of Batman. And when you see other people, you aren't even seeing things that are really, I mean, you know, hard story progression. Like, the story progression in this could have easily been 3 pages long. In this latest issue, it was story progression, but it could have been 3 pages, yet they expanded it to a full issue where they weren't even in Gotham, and then they expect you to shell out $3 for it.
That's true, though, but I feel like as if DC is just doing that just to give people more Batman. Meanwhile, he has, like, think about it, he has other titles, and the fact that it's a weekly basis, here's the thing about weekly basis comic books, is that it's good. Just think about it, a comic book that comes out once a month, kind of, just think about it, you buy a comic book this month, and you read it the day you get it, but then 30 days later, you forget what happened, but then you have to go back, read it, and it's you know, it kind of gets tiring after a while, but then at the same time, it's like, when you do a weekly basis, the pacing is way off, because something that you do in, like, 20 or 30 pages could have been done on, like, 2 or 3, and it's kind of like, you know, the pacing just completely throws you off, and then it's like, damn, I just wasted $2.99. Like, come on.
Exactly. Yeah. No, because I agree with you completely because we've talked about this on the show before. We'll forget, you know, to the point where we'll think, oh, dear, you know, why is Punisher fighting, you know, Electro? You know, did I forget? And then you realize that's the entire basis of the entire story. You're an idiot. But you just forget. However, though, in my opinion, the equality increases, and that's a huge issue because you've even looked at something like Superman Doom, which you may have not read it, but I know that Anthony and I have. And it also has, you know, pacing issues because while it's a, you know, while they do tie-ins, every single tie-in, though, is an actual story progression like Eternal is.
And even though the books themselves are monthly, it does end up ultimately being weekly or at least semi-weekly.
But doesn't that kind of get kind of annoying, though? Because think about it. Let's say you buy an issue from Superman Doom, right? But then they do, they, you know how sometimes they have, like, those continuation stories? Oh, explained in Superman and Action Comics, or explained in Superman. Then you end up, like, getting all these other issues. Like, okay, you get the backstory, but it's like, why can't you just explain it right here?
Well, no, actually, what's funny is, the thing is, I guess you really, because it's fine if you don't know, they only did one Superman Doom. Everything else is what would be, it was as if it would be a, like a tie-in, except that it's a bit different.
It's essentially a crossover among all the main Superman titles, but
like,
the prelude was in one issue.
It's the same, it's not as if you could read, let's say, Death of the Family and just get the whole story from Batman, you know, those issues. No, it would be as if Death of the Family was issue one, and then the rest was Batgirl, this issue, Red Hood, this issue, Batman and Robin, this issue. And even though they all, you know, come out in the same, they all come out in the same month, so it's essentially a weekly story as well. And in our opinion, yes, it also hinders it. So yeah, before we, you know, we sadly have to move on, you are, you know, because we're going to have to, you know, hopefully give some other callers a chance. You have, so you love the detective work, obviously, no one can argue that, but you do agree that the pacing and sadly even the story can be a bit lacking because of this weekly model.
Yes, I do agree, because it's just, I think it's better off just being a monthly thing.
Of course. And before we do let you go, I would like to ask, how long would you support this before you cut it off? Is there something that they could do that would make you think, I do not want Batman Eternal?
Something, I think if they would have to, because I remember in Batman Dark Knight, he got taken down by like an Easter Bunny or like a Playboy Bunny or something. If they do something like that, I'm sorry, I just call it quits.
All right, so basically, yeah, so you're sitting here thinking, motherfucking bunnies, man. If bunnies,
exactly.
So, while I find that odd, I agree with you. Actually, yeah, if bunnies get involved that aren't Professor Pig rejects, you know, with like bunny heads, actual bunnies, it's like, nope, we're done. Thank you for coming on, Gary. But again, thank you for calling in. And of course, again, if anyone else wants to call in and talk about, not maybe about bunnies, I don't know. If anyone else wants to call in, please, the number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. We're going to move away from Batman Eternal a bit, is there anything else you really want to say about it? I mean, I think I said as much where, you know, it's just, it could have, it's one of those things where we're happy that it didn't just focus on Batman. But their problem is that they jump away from Gotham, and then the story could have easily been told in three pages, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't really have so much a comment on Eternal, because we did pretty much sum it up. My main thing is just that the fact that it's going to be great when in 2 months Gary buys the new Eternal and the new villain announced as Peter Rabbit.
Wouldn't that be great? Just Peter Cottontail. Peter Cottontail rules over. He's the main villain. It's not even Darkseid. It isn't the Anti-Monitor. It's Peter Cottontail.
He's pulling Falcone's strings.
He's pulling them right by the cottontail is what he's doing. We're continuing with Eternal, as always. But, again, we're in hesitation mode. That's what we'll leave it on. We're in hesitation mode yet again. It's the same train of thought. 1 week gets you thinking, huh, maybe. And then here we are in Brazil, wondering how we got here.
Exactly.
Seriously, how did we get to Brazil? We're reading a Batman comic book. How did we get to Brazil? But okay.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, we move forward. We move on to Silver Surfer number 3, which, by the way, Gary, hopefully he's still listening. If you haven't picked up Silver Surfer yet, get it. It is look at Anthony's first issue, maybe. It is very interesting, you know, because I'm a huge fan of it. I know you are as well, Anthony. It's basically Doctor Who, right, but done in a way that it makes the, you know, Silver Surfer very likable. It gives him this character that I've yet to see from him, because I've always assumed he was just, you know, this guy who's quiet, who, you know, goes through the universe saving people quietly.
Every story I've read before, he seems just so stoic and serious. And in the last page of this issue, he actually, like, he laughs. Like, he just really lets loose and laughs and smiles.
And it's nice, because it's not anything too out of character. Like, it's not as if he's, you know, he's being the Doctor. Like, it's like Doctor Who, but in no way do I look at the Silver Surfer and I think, oh, he's just the Doctor ripoff, because there's still differences between him. But he holds true certain things that the Doctor also holds true, but in a way that doesn't seem too far-fetched, where he's a superhero who enjoys saving people. No shit, you know what I mean? Like, in no way, like, in that way, Batman's like the Doctor, although let's not get started on that rumor. But still, you know, so he's a superhero. He likes saving people. He likes, you know, he wants them to be safe, and regardless, even though he didn't know this girl at all, they still threw him in the combat and said, this is your greatest friend. You must either fight for her or she will die. And he does it because she's an innocent. She didn't come into this thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to have to do today. So he saves her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think things like that just really, you know, really make you like the Silver Surfer more than you may have before.
Oh, absolutely. Prior to this, I never tried any of the Silver Surfer books. But the one thing that gave me that pretty much drove me to take the shot was one of the writers on this book, Dan Slott, on his Twitter. He pretty much said how he loves writing Silver Surfer because it's almost like writing Doctor Who, and he's a huge Doctor Who fan, and so are we.
Right.
So immediately I was like, well, let's try this book. And from the first issue, I was like, so Silver Surfer, he's like number one at Marvel now? Yeah, cool, okay.
Yeah, how are the sales doing for Silver Surfer, by the way?
As far as I can tell, they're doing pretty well.
I hope they last forever. I would deal with 100 issues of this because it's just so fun that I feel as if, and not only is it fun, by the way, Dan Slott has done some really bad things, but this is something he got right, so good for him. So,
absolutely.
But what I want to say, though, what I really want to say is that this is, what I enjoy about this the most is, usually in comics that go cosmic, they completely destroy your mind because we talked about this with Invaders, where all new invaders, where they went cosmic and they just threw words at us and didn't really try to expect, hey, maybe we don't know the meaning behind them.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that just for a page or two, they decided, you know what, maybe some people might not know who we are. Let's kind of introduce them in a way that seems, it was majestic. It didn't seem, you know, like a narrator talking to you about, you know, the craziness of the universe and how great it is. It didn't sound like a history lesson, nor did it, you know, was it not there? And then we thought, okay, that's big, you know, that's big universe girl. Hey, look, that's big out of universe guy.
Exactly,
no.
And even the very first page of the book gave you a quick two-sentence summary of the main characters so far. So in case you've forgotten or if you're just jumping on, you know who everybody is prior to the story.
Yeah, I think this book is basically, you know, whoever is currently writing Invaders, sadly the name escapes me, you know, study Dan Slott's work, which is a hard thing for me to say, but study Dan Slott's work with Silver Surfer. And maybe you'll understand that if you're using, because it's fine to make references that either no one's going to get or the most hardcore fan will get. But please understand that, I even hate to say this, but that people will be reading that aren't that big into it. Like someone might think, oh, Silver Surfer. Someone might remember the cartoon, you know, from back in the day. Someone will remember the Silver Surfer in the weirdest of ways and think, well, he has a single issue. Let me pick up one issue. And if they're a fan of Doctor Who, they'll love it. And even if they're not, they might still love it. But if you're throwing in references that no one will get and not even, like, giving any explanation whatsoever, that's going to be a huge deterrent. And I think that was a deterrent for Invaders. Thankfully, they got rid of that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually really glad you brought that up because I was going to say the exact same thing, that this is how Invaders should have been. Not even the fact of, like, not throwing around the cosmic terms and all that, but for an opening arc, this was only 3 issues long. And it was really short, simple, and easy to follow.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. And it's very interesting that it was only 3 issues long. I thought it would be longer, but no. I like that he's doing it at his own pace. Hopefully, that he can do another 3-issue arc and then put those two arcs into one volume.
Exactly.
And call it a day, rather than having to expand it in a way that, you know, I mean, and I can see why Invaders was 5 issues, but at the same time, maybe 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain things here and there that made you think, all right, they're just making this person, let's say a villain, leave so that they could continue the story. Speaking
exactly.
Talking to you, Batman Eternal. But you have Silver Surfer just, I mean, to be very fun and innocent, and it feels whimsical. It feels as if when you read it, you're just having a good time. You know, and
mm-hmm.
I think between that and Spider-Man, it really helps my day out sometimes, you know, with the new Amazing Spider-Man coming out, where just sometimes it just, it feels good, you know, and you need that in your life. You really do.
Exactly. You don't always want to have a comic book where the fate of the universe hangs in the balance. You sometimes just want a comic book where you could just read it and just enjoy it for the fun that
it brings
you.
And what's great, though, is that, you know, I'm upset that you missed this. Not missed it, but I'm upset you didn't really make note of it. The fate of the universe was in his hand. Yet it was still fun.
Well, that's true, yeah.
That's what they, yeah. We forget because they're heroes. They're obviously not going to. Silver Surfer will not die in issue 3. He'll die eventually, I'm sure, again, if not for a 7th time. But he'll come back, but it won't be in issue 3. So obviously for us, we're like, no, it's going to continue no matter what. But the fate of the universe was in his hands. Yet still, you know, he was able to. It was able to be fun. And then also you have the female character, his quote-unquote companion, basically, who is, I love her because they're writing her as a very strong, you know, empowered, you know, companion, which I do think we need, because she's, I like when someone either is written or in real life who can take, you know, become empowered, be it man or woman, who can show that they have power, that they aren't afraid, that they aren't scared, but then aren't mean with it, you know, who don't
exactly.
take it to a level of you're thinking, okay, are you nice, or are you strong and you're happy about it, or are you strong and you're trying to put it in other people's faces, you know, and I like that she's powerful, but in no way did she want to make the Silver Surfer feel, you know, emasculated or to be put down. She didn't even know who he was. She just thought, oh, hey, she thought he was just a human being in a suit, you know, in a costume. And then all of a sudden he becomes all silver, and she goes, oh, you're something. You know, you're
yeah.
pretty. You're pretty. I'm what? I meant silver. I meant, you know, like, I meant shiny. It was really nice, and it was cute, and I just think that it's something that, you know, definitely, again, Gary, anyone else listening, try to pick it up. I mean, currently the first arc is 3 issues. So that's actually very easy to just pick up and see either if you like it or to see if you hate it. If it was 6 issues, I would be wary. I'd be like, well, you know, maybe, I don't know. But 3 issues long, you pick up 1 issue, you know, you borrow someone from a friend, you go on the internet, you know, and you can really see that it's a good series, and I really think that people should be putting it on their pull lists. I hope this series lasts a while. I would hate for this series to, you know, to get low numbers and then be canceled, because then it, you know, makes a stereotype of, well, we can't have anything fun in this world unless it's Spider-Man or Superior
exactly.
Foes. By the way, Superior Foes is great.
Absolutely.
But Superior Foes of Spider-Man. But yeah, if it's not those, if Spider-Man is not in the name, it can't be fun. You know, we want a quiet Silver Surfer who just looks at people and they explode. You know, which I don't know. I'm just a big fan of this, and we're going to move on to some of the not so much rumors. I mean, they're rumors technically, but people who have reported on it aren't, you know, just people on the, you know, internet. Like, we've
exactly.
actually heard, I mean, they are people on the internet, but they aren't just random websites. You know, we are getting this from, you know, Comic Book Movie, which does report a lot of, you know, factual information. And what we're going to be talking about today, possibly for the next half an hour because of how angry it currently made my butt, heard it completely, is Lex Luthor in Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice. All right, so how about, for anyone who might not know, how about you inform them, Anthony, because currently I'm angry. So how about you inform them?
Oh, boy. Okay.
I don't sound angry, but I'm furious.
Oh, no, I agree. Now, where do we begin? Okay.
Okay.
So, as on June 17th, we received what is supposedly the official character description for Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice. And they use the word douchebag a lot, so that's pretty interesting. But basically,
yeah, that's the only good part of the description. Douchebag.
Pretty much.
Fair point. Yeah.
But they pretty much started off describing his hairstyle. Apparently, it's going to be longer than Eisenberg's.
The fact that he has a hairstyle.
I know.
It's just the first flag. Just, excuse me, hairstyle, good sir?
It's apparently going to be a bit longer, loose and wavy, and it's dirty blonde, so he was a redhead in the comics, but whatever. He's going to have spastic mannerisms, like a 20-something guy that pounds energy drinks all day. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Apparently, the interior of LexCorp has a basketball court in its lobby with a giant 30-foot neon LexCorp Industries sign. I like the sign part. The basketball court,
yes,
not so much.
I actually like the basketball court, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, they pretty much go on, and this is a direct quote. Lex has a super modern, hip Facebook, interesting, Google-style office with a basketball court, pinball tables, etc. Everyone looks ultra douchey, and he has bow ties and blazers, etc. Lex is introduced in which he takes a basketball shot, and in the same motion, after draining the shot, turns around and shakes the senator's hand, who is there to greet him. He looks like Kurt Cobain and is a complete douche. That has been your slightly confirmed character development, character description for Lex Luthor,
yeah,
in Superman,
yeah,
Batman,
now,
Dawn of Justice.
Now, thank you for bringing up development. See, the thing that I, what I feel about this is, I feel as if the issue with this is that they, what they're trying to do, oh, by the way, we have ourselves a caller. Before I start my own thought, I'd like to patch him or her in. Hello, caller.
Hi, Matt. It's me, Daniel.
Oh, hello, Danny. We know Danny or Daniel. So I'm assuming you're calling because you heard us talking about the rumors for Luthor, yes?
What?
What rumors?
What?
What? What? What? I'm so confused. Why are you calling, Daniel? Daniel?
I'm enraged, and I can't yell because I'm outside.
No, Daniel, yell into the streets. People will either be scared of you or they'll understand. Be like, Lex Luthor's what?
I'm sorry. Like, I'm not the biggest Superman fan. I love Superman, but Lex Luthor is supposed to be this calculating, cunning, manipulative.
Yeah.
What's that word for hating aliens? Or you're afraid of aliens? Xenophobic.
I wanted to say that, but alienophobic, that's the new word. So he's alien. No, here's the thing. I agree with you completely, but I know what they're doing here. I was actually going to say it, but then I realized you were on the line, so I wanted you to definitely, like, you know, hear and be able to comment as well. What they're doing is, see, they want to make development in a way where, and I can see it, it's they want to start off where a character isn't exactly the way we know them as, and then they grow into the character we know them as. But the huge issue is that for a good movie or two, we're going to see them as people who we don't know, the people we don't know. And that's an issue right there, where seeing Lex Luthor like this, even for one movie, is too much of this Lex Luthor.
Like,
way too much. You know, because we don't need him like this. I mean, hair is okay, but the rest of it just seems too young and hip.
Yeah, like, you can't, like, you're trying to date him. I feel like you're trying to, like make him feel dated. Like, his actions.
Yes, exactly. Well, updated, you know? I agree completely. Also, I would like to mention, Danny, from what you heard with the whole basketball court and everything, would you do that if you had $1 million? If you were a millionaire? Just have, like, a CEO, just like, you know, like the whole tower with a basketball court in there?
Look, I'm a humble guy, but...
No, but I'm asking, like, wouldn't that be something you'd want to do? Where, like, you know what? Yeah, I want a basketball court in every room, you know?
Yes, I would.
Yes. Okay, see? So, and that's the thing right there. I agree. Like, I would also think that's really cool, that, you know, that kind of like the arcades or whatever, and also Anthony would as well, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course.
And that's the problem. That's the problem right there. The three of us, who aren't supposed to be supporting the bad guy, think, yeah, that's something we would do. That's an issue right there. You need...
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he can't be intellectual, because he can still be intellectual and play basketball. I'm sure that's something Lex Luthor would do. He would, you know, conquer. He's strong. He would conquer every world that he could, right? But the issue becomes that he is, you know, he's using his money on quote-unquote cool things that we would. Why is he a villain? Why do we hate him?
Wait, Matt, I just have a thing. I think that they're trying, like, to show him as a villain and think, Maybe the things we do, maybe, like, you could change to be more like Superman. I don't know.
That would be interesting if that were true. But either that, or I think maybe they want us to be jealous of him. Like, oh, well, we would want that. He has that. But we don't need to be jealous. If we want to be jealous of Lex, be jealous because he owns the corporation in general. You know, he's already this guy who, you know, there's so many things that they could have done with him and still kept his hair, at least for the beginning, where he could just be smiling and he looks a bit happy and cheery and, you know, and then behind the scenes you see that he just makes a call and says, oh, he won't comply? Drop him. You see someone drop someone else off a building?
Mm-hmm.
Which may happen, actually. I mean, we haven't heard if any of these things will happen. But I think the biggest problem is, was that, Anthony?
No, I was going to say, I mean, so far what we just went through, as far as we know, it's just that scene of him being introduced. So we don't really know other than that. All we know is how he acts when he's going to meet a senator. We don't know much
else. Right,
yeah.
Which is why we assume he will grow. You know, he will become different. We assume that one day we'll think, yep, that's the Lex we know from the comics. But that, in my opinion, is terrible because you have to flip it. You have to make the Lex that you know from the comic books, and then eventually they'll grow into someone new and different and exciting. And you'll think, hey, that's my opinion. I'd rather start with what we know and then change it rather than let's change it and then it'll become what we know. Because DC, I hate to say this, DC, but you aren't in a position where you can do that. Your films, you know, are teetering between, like, they have this giant list of what they want to do. If you haven't checked it out, you know, check it out. There's a giant list of, they've made, you know, confirmations. Oh, yeah, we want to do this movie here, this movie here, this movie here. But one of those movies doesn't work. It's a domino effect, and then the rest of your movies are canceled.
And can I say something?
Sure.
As much as the whole thing, all that's changed upon the DC movie, no matter how much basketball court and how douchebag Lex Luthor, it's still gonna beat out Captain America 3, and I'm sad because that's the truth.
Yes, no, of course. Just no matter. I mean, it's true because they've already done such, you know, great work that, I mean, Batman doesn't even technically have a movie right now to really have him lead into this. He's just because it's supposed to be a new continuity, apparently. Although every other day that changes, right?
Batman's in it because he's Batman.
No, yes, that's obvious. But so Batman's in it. Then we have Superman, who's coming from a very subpar movie, which, again, they still have the same mentality of, if you don't let him be Superman, he'll grow into Superman. It's okay. And then by the second movie, either this movie or, you know, Superman's actual second film, because I don't know if you know, Danny, this is not considered the sequel. This is currently officially Superman versus Batman. That's why you're seeing a bit more of Batman and other cameos, because it's officially not Superman 2 anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so Superman 2 will happen later. So it'll be, he'll be Superman either in this film or in Superman 2, and that's where you'll love him. Again, you know, they really need to understand. Here's the thing.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. If this were a TV show, maybe that would work, right? Fair enough. I mean, look at Smallville. You look at Arrow. It could work. I mean, hell, look at even the new Gotham coming up, where obviously Bruce Wayne starts off as a boy. He's clearly not going to be donning the Batman cape for a very long time.
Yeah.
So you understand.
He won't be donning it until the last episode.
Exactly. So that's understandable. So, but when you look at, so the TV show's okay, but in movie form, they really need to take a step back and think, wait a minute, maybe people don't want to invest in a 4 to 6 year payoff. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they just want the superhero movie and then see where it goes from there. Where what was that about Marvel?
Marvel got that. Marvel does have people grow into their thing, but they do it in one movie and then they establish it and they're finished.
Exactly, and when you see them grow, they don't take that much time to grow usually. You know,
Thor,
that's what works.
Yeah, Thor grew up in like a long weekend.
Exactly, right? It was just easy for Thor to, you know. And Thor, I mean, yeah, exactly. And in theory, they still already have their powers and they still have their morals, I think. I think that's what's better, I think, for me. They have their morals and they have their looks about them immediately. You know, I think it would have been a lot different if the first time we see Tony Stark, he looks like me. And if no one knows me, if you don't know me, it's fine. I don't have Tony Stark's beard at all. I have very long hair. I look like a long-haired CM Punk. If you don't know who that is, Google that. And, you know, it's just, I have long hair. So you're like, oh, yeah, that's clearly not Tony Stark. If that was the first time we saw Tony Stark and he wasn't a kid, he was the age that Tony Stark should be, that's a huge issue.
No, you're 90s Tony Stark. You're 90s Tony Stark with that mullet. You're 90s Tony Stark with the mullet.
Yeah, I'm 90s Tony Stark with the mullet. But that currently isn't what Tony Stark is today. So it wouldn't work out very well, and that's the problem. But Marvel, they didn't ever think about that. They thought, all right, and you can argue that the Marvel movies aren't that good. You can, because people will argue that, and that's fine. But at the same time, though, I don't think that you should be starting off your hero the way he or she isn't, because are you really certain? I kind of think that it's a bit of an arrogance. It's a bit of hubris, thinking that you're going to sit there and go, that they'll want to come back. They definitely will. There was nothing that will stop them to come back when we're still making these movies in, you know, in another 2 years or another 4 or 6 years, and then by the time the second or third or fourth movie comes around, they'll get the hero that they want. That is such arrogance.
And coming from a company who has David Goyer writing, I don't expect anything else.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a problem, because David Goyer has done some great things, but it's just, you know, I think it's just one of those things where they, you know, they need to do the Marvel approach, where it's just, don't get David to write everything, you know? Don't get, because it's just, I mean, I think I'm a great writer, but I don't think there are certain superheroes that I probably shouldn't be writing for, you know, where, like, I think I would be great writing for Batman, maybe even Superman. I would love to write for Spider-Man. I enjoy my comedy. You might not, but, hey, I enjoy my comedy. I would love to write for Spider-Man, but I'm not going to write for Zatanna. I'm not going to write for Justice League Dark.
Exactly.
I don't know shit about Justice League Dark.
Exactly. It's like if they came up to me, they're like, write a comic. I'm like, I got Superman. No. We want you to write Elastic Man. Like, I don't know who that is, so I'm going to pass, but thank you.
Yeah, and then if they make you do it, or you try to, for some reason, think that you can write any superhero, you're going to make an inferior product.
Exactly.
And that's what's been happening. I know you were saying something, Daniel.
Yeah, because the thing is, I don't see, like, because Goyer pissed me off with what he said at San Diego Comic Con. He said what he talked about when he talked about She-Hulk.
I remember it a bit. Would you be able to elaborate?
My
memory is a bit fuzzy. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Either of you two?
You want me to elaborate? Okay, David Goyer basically said that She-Hulk only existed for someone to have, for Hulk, someone.
Well, yeah, no, I think, I also remember the comments being linked to him saying that that's what the boys thought she was there for. You know, the boys fantasized about her that way when they were kids. And, of course, that isn't that far. You know, that's fairly accurate. But I will admit, though, yes, that is a pretty stupid thing to say. And for all we know, that's the guy writing Wonder Woman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is a frightening thing. Extremely frightening. And that's what worries me. I mean, hell, we look at Dan Slott, who, again, I disagree with completely in a lot of ways, but he wrote Silver Surfer, and if you haven't read it, Dan, you definitely read it, because the female in there is, she's the perfect, if we had him writing Wonder Woman, I would love it, because she was written as this very strong, powerful woman, but in no way, quote-unquote, bitchy. In no way was she just angry for the sake of being angry, or very anti-men, although we obviously understand why Wonder Woman can be anti-men, obviously, because that's where she was born, but still, it was a very, you know, he wrote women very well, Dan Slott, and in this case. And we need someone who is better at writing women, I think, for Wonder Woman. And she is going to have a cameo here, but hopefully when Wonder Woman comes out, it won't be David Goyer. Because even if it is, by that time, he'll still be burnt out anyway. How do you expect this man to just start popping out scripts like babies?
Yeah, true. He's got, as much as I dislike what he says, he's still got talent,
he has a talent for taking superheroes and trying to make them for the mainstream, even though sometimes that completely disregards the character's intended origin or purpose.
Yeah, but sometimes the thing is that sometimes you can't. There's some heroes you don't make mainstream, like. I feel like you can't make what the origin of Shazam mainstream. Like,
well, it's coming out, so it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to be something, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it's directed by Michael Bay. Something's going to happen where it's just Shazam, you know, it's because of the Shazamic, you know, toxin that the little boy accidentally drank, and then he became Shazam.
He says,
you know?
Shazam and 10 cities blow up.
Please,
exactly.
Just
like,
don't make Shazam dark.
As I'm saying, like, that's the issue. That's what I'm saying. You look at Superman, and you see how dark that became, and then you look at, so there's just, it worries me, where are we going to get Shazam, where it's just, you know, where it's just the little boy, who, by the way, is from the, you know, the mean streets of New York, where it's just, you know, walking out and going, Shazam, bitch. You know, like, what are we going to get? It worries me. These things worry me when you have people like Goyer on. Which, by the way, if you're listening, totally, totally hire me to replace you. But, he'll never. Oh, I'll never get a job in Hollywood. But, because I'm not saying I hate his work completely, by the way. I actually did enjoy his Blade when I was a child, the first Blade film. And upon rewatching it, while there are some things that make you think, all right, this isn't Blade and this is prototype Batman, I still enjoy it. I do.
Who doesn't love Blade?
Hmm?
Who doesn't love Blade?
Exactly. But anyway, thank you for calling in, Daniel. We're going to let you go. We're going to talk bit more, a bit about Ant-Man, not too much, because sadly our time is dwindling down. But again, Daniel, thank you for calling in.
Okay, no problems.
All right, so we're going to talk about Ant-Man a little bit before we have to go. Ant-Man, so the rumors now are that the villain is going to be Yellowjacket. If you don't know who Yellowjacket is, don't worry. Neither do many. But the problem, I think, more is that we've already heard that Michael Douglas was going to be the villain, who was going to be, Hank Pym, who is the original Ant-Man. See, there are many twists and turns here. See, like the Iron Man suit, you know, like the... not really Spider-Man, but like the Iron Man suit, hell, like even Batman's costume, many people have donned the role. Not that many, but many have donned the role. So, you know, so we're not going to have Hank Pym be the main character, apparently. We're actually going to have, who is it again, be the main character?
Paul Rudd.
I mean the actual...
Oh, like the character. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Scott Lang.
Yes, Scott Lang. So, yes, so we're going to have Scott Lang, Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, not Michael Douglas, as, you know, as Hank Pym as the main character. No. You know, Paul Rudd is as Scott Lang, which, yes, it can work, but then we were being rumored that Michael Douglas was going to be never going to be Ant-Man, ever. So he was just going to be, you know, he was just going to be this guy, Hank Pym, right, who also ends up turning out to be a villain. Because Hank Pym doesn't get enough of a bad rep in comics for the things that he's done.
And now, apparently, the villain is Yellowjacket, who, interestingly enough, was at one point Hank Pym.
Yes, so now we're... are they trying to make it so that, you know, Hank Pym, is, Yellowjacket only, exclusively? It's funny, because we talked about Marvel getting it for a while, and now here we are. So I think it's gotten to the point where, you know, I think every company, including, even though it might seem a bit off topic, WWE, every company is good when they're in peril. The second they get on top, they start getting cocky.
Yep.
You know, Marvel was great when it was thinking, damn, we don't have Spider-Man, the X-Men, or the Fantastic Four. What are we going to do? They were great. They made some amazing films that really made you think, yep, Marvel's better than DC already, just right off the bat. And then those that thought DC was better, in my honest opinion, were just sitting there thinking, but Batman, he's in the dark. I mean, look at that symbolism right there.
He is the night.
He is the night. He is the night. Right? So that just made them think, you know, that's better than Tony Stark making jokes. Like, for some... I don't want to, you know, shit on Batman at all, or the movies, or his fans, but still, it seems as if, like, some people argue that sometimes, which is, look at all the symbolism and this and this and this. Marvel movies are terrible because they're fun, right? That's how it seems as if sometimes, right? So, but again, now, all of a sudden, I'm not saying this movie might not be fun because Paul Rudd's the main character. This movie's probably going to be hilarious. But the issue becomes... Now, the things that they're doing with the story, where it's just, all right, so now you think you can just take creative liberties just because. because you're
well,
on top now. So
here's the thing. They're saying that Yellow Jacket is supposedly going to be the villain, but it's not going to be Michael Douglas in there. So I'm guessing I have two theories, that it's not going to be Hank Pym as Yellow Jacket, that Hank Pym won't be the villain. He'll actually be mentoring Scott Lang, which I'm okay with. Or they're going to go the time travel route, which I hope does not happen at all.
Explain the time travel route, good sir. Are you making an Age of Ultron comic book reference, or...?
Absolutely. If only because Avengers 2 is going to be Avengers Age of Ultron. See, my thing here is that apparently it's going to be Yellow Jacket as the villain. A different actor will be in the role other than Michael Douglas, but Michael Douglas will be Hank Pym. They have not said whether or not Yellow Jacket is going to be Hank Pym. So my only thing would be that it's Hank Pym as Yellow Jacket.
And then Pym falls in love with Santana and watch this on the next episode of Glee. That's all I can hear just as you're explaining. But then he won't be Hank Pym. And then all of a sudden Hank Pym is in love with Santana and then Rachel. That's what you missed on Marvel.
I mean, this is my point with the time travel. It does get a bit confusing. So
yeah.
A bit is an understatement. But yeah, so I'm thinking Yellow Jacket, Hank Pym comes from the past or the future or wherever the hell we are in this movie and tries to go after Scott Lang for God knows what reason. And somehow that'll tie into Age of Ultron, the movie.
Yes, okay, strangely enough, yeah, I would enjoy if for some reason Scott Lang has to go into the past and sees Yellow Jacket being Hank Pym. Like, in other words, because I will admit, if there is time travel involved, I would be okay with Ant-Man being in the past, being a young, because I think that's what I want the most, even with DC, where, you know, if you're going to have, you know, Barry Allen be the Flash, I would like there to, you know, I would like... Jay Garrick to be there somehow, mentoring him, and even be referenced to have powers, just in a way where, you know, it's just, oh, well, you know, Superman was the first superhero, you know, you didn't know that Jay Garrick was the Flash. Well, they couldn't see him. He's fast. You know, it's little things here and there. The Green Lanterns could be easily in space or something. That's why you haven't seen them for a while, but they started a while ago, too, before the current Lanterns or something, like the current Green Lantern. So we can have maybe, you know, more than one Green Lantern, but not just introduce all three of them in the first movie or something along those lines. There are many things you can do, I feel. So if time travel has to be involved, I'd be okay with it, so long as Michael Douglas is either not the villain, or he isn't the, you know, he isn't just, I'm Hank Pym. I made the Pym particle, but I am also not Ant-Man, nor will I ever be. Come the fuck on, you know? That's all I'm saying, where it's just, you have this plethora of characters. Use them. Use them wisely.
Exactly.
Because if you just make Hank Pym old and never even reference him ever to be anything other than the guy who made the Pym particle, you're wasting an entire hero's legacy. You're wasting Janet.
Thinking more about this whole time travel thing, I could easily see them doing somewhat of an X-Men Days of Future Past thing. It's not really a spoiler. It's in all the trailers. Where Professor X sends Wolverine back to kind of coerce the younger Professor X to go back to
things. Are you telling me that there's time travel in Days of Future Past?
Who knew, Matt?
I just saw the cast list and I thought, oh, this will be interesting. But who thought time travel?
Right? Days of Future Past. certainly not I.
Yeah, but I thought the future was coming to them.
What?
I don't even know where I'm going. No, I'm making a stupid joke.
I was trying to go along with the joke. I'm like, I don't know what to say to that.
What I was trying to say was, instead of Wolverine going into the past, the future just comes to them. Basically a reverse time travel movie, where just everyone's normal in the current day, and all of a sudden from the future just comes these motherfuckers. Which, in a way, now I'm hoping that's how Ant-Man would be. I'm hoping they start off normally in the 1940s as if nothing is going wrong. Then Paul Rudd appears as Scott Lang in the Ant-Man costume going, ah! Everyone thinking it's an alien. He's like, everyone calm down! That would be excellent. If you're listening right now, that's how you should start your movie. Just the 1940s being just fine and dandy.
Then all of a sudden, an Ant-Man appears.
But that would be great. But seriously, though, yes, so go along with what you were saying. Yeah, the very important thing
just,
you were saying.
I can just see it where it's like Scott Lang, Hank Pym, Michael Douglas is Hank Pym,
right.
has been training Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, training him to what he considers to be the perfect Ant-Man, and once he's reached that point, he sends him back in time to stop the younger Hank Pym Yellowjacket from creating Ultron 2.0 or something. Because in the Avengers, Ultron is going to be created technically by Tony Stark.
Yes, yes. I would enjoy that because, and it's funny in a weird way because it makes you think, you know, it makes you think, oh, but he already made it, which is true. But there are a lot of ways you could go with this. I mean, hell, if you look at Age of Ultron, the actual comic book, the time travel was very bad. As a man who loves Doctor Who, I did not enjoy the time travel there. But, I mean, hey, if you're going to go along with that set of, you know, logic, I would love to see that in... I would love to see that in Ant-Man. Even if people are going to say, oh, X-Men already did it, I honestly don't care.
Exactly.
I would be a huge fan. If that's how you have to include, you know, Hank Pym and Yellowjacket, and, you know, even if Hank Pym is both, you know, Yellowjacket and then Ant-Man in a way, you know what I mean, where it's just, you know, it's like he went, you know, where, you know how it can be, where it's just he was Ant-Man, then he became Yellowjacket because of something, maybe the death of his wife, maybe a little nod there or something.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he realized that was the problem, or he was stopped by a man and he didn't know who it was. I realized that man was you. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Where
yeah.
it's just, you know, it could easily be something along those lines where, I mean, just there's a lot of things they can do. And honestly, if time travel is involved, I would really be happy because I really don't want them to waste the potential of, you know, the Wasp as Janet or as, you know, of Hank Pym as Ant-Man, nor would I want them to just say, no, Janet loves Scott now. Because we made the movie.
Yeah.
Not really. No. I would rather, you know, I would rather. And also, by the way, as a quick question, because, you know, my knowledge, sadly, I'm not too knowledgeable about Ant-Man. Scott Lang is the second Ant-Man or the third?
I'm almost positive he's the second Ant-Man.
All right, so then we do have other Ant-Men out
yes.
there. Okay, good. So if Paul Rudd ever said, I'm hanging up my boots, we could throw in more. Okay, that's
yes.
what I assume. I just didn't know if he was the second or third, because wouldn't that be great? We're ruining two Ant-Men, you know? For this specific one. No! But before we tie, you know, this all together, I would like to say that I'm optimistic now about Ant-Man a bit more, now that we talked about it. Luthor
yeah.
still scares the hell out of me.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
And it scares me if only because it's just, I want him to be evil in a way that seems overly intellectual, you know, I mean, just sitting there sipping wine, maybe having someone playing live piano for him. You know, I want that to be his menacing. I don't want his menacing to just be, like, I am menacing. As people are playing Xbox One all around him, I don't really find that to be menacing. You know, like I said, I find that to be us, what we would do if we had money. And is that like a Big Bang Theory thing? Are you trying to say that we're bad? You know? Are you Because that's how I feel about the Big Bang Theory, if anyone cares to know. I feel as if, in a way, they're kind of making fun of us, quote-unquote, you know, the nerds. So I'm sitting here thinking, is that what you're doing with, you know, this movie? Are you trying to just say that, oh, yeah, you know, he's a nerd. And he's also evil. You know who's not a nerd? Superman. I mean, what does that really show you? It's like, it shows that you guys are assholes. You know? but that's just how I feel. You know, I feel as if they just really need to, they have the time, you know, because everything's getting delayed.
Yeah.
But I really think they need to kind of refocus their work on that. Because I'm not a fan of that approach. You know, I think it's just, it's not going to work out well for them in the future. And then when everything gets canceled in a domino effect, it's going to be a huge problem. You know, in no way, it's very interesting because, you know, DC, when I said that Marvel and WWE, they were better when they were at the bottom, DC is one of those companies that just aren't. DC is TNA. See, DC just thinks that whatever it's doing is right, even though it's just its fans aren't enjoying it. And they're getting low, and they're getting low sales. So what are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, what are you doing here? Because you could easily... Because, again, all they have to do is just think, all right, what would the fans want to see? You know, and if this is what they think, then maybe that's, like, the scariest thing in the world, I think. If this is what they think the fans want to see, that's frightening. But I'm assuming that they're not thinking that. They're just thinking, we're going to craft our amazing story, and then people will flock to it.
Yeah. I mean, the only redeeming thing I can think of with this whole Luthor scenario is that's
right.
how he is in the beginning of the film. By the end of the film, once that their whole big battle is over, Wayne Industries buys out LexCorp. And it essentially sends Lex spiraling down to where he builds himself up, and now he has the pure hatred of the costumed heroes.
You see, but my thing is, though, is why would that change him to now not care about basketball courts and Xbox Ones? I know I'm throwing in Xbox Ones. I'm assuming that because of the way he's been described as, he's going to be that nerd guy. You know, I mean, with all the spastic, like, is he really just going to be for the whole movie just spastic, reminding me of, like, a David Tennant mixed in with how they made the, you know, the Barry Allen Flash, just spastic. And all of a sudden, by the end of the movie, just, I've been cured. I'm just kind of menacing and angry now. Really? That's what I mean. Where it's just, I understand that's what they're going to do, yes. But there are
mm-hmm.
certain character traits that they're currently trying to give him that don't just get washed away.
Well, that's true, yeah.
And that is my huge concern, where it's just,
mm-hmm.
you can't just write those off by, well, he's very upset at superheroes now, so he doesn't care about video games anymore? It's like, because, I mean, yes, you could argue that maybe he seriouses up, you know, he gets wiser and whatever, but still, I just, like we said, I'm a bigger fan of him being wise in the beginning, and maybe not being wise on superheroes, or supervillains,
mm-hmm.
but being wise, quote-unquote wise nonetheless, where he just kind of just, he's very serious, he's very to himself, he's very quiet, you know, only, he's fun when being interacted with, you know, when he has to put on that funny face, he does. Which, hey,
mm-hmm.
maybe this could all just be his funny face, you know,
exactly.
and we're taking it the wrong way. But I think the problem is that it's I think the biggest problem is even if it is his funny face, still, there's many ways, I always felt as if he had power. And something about all these things make me feel as if they're taking away that power.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I don't think it's his funny face. I think it's just they're trying to put it there as, look at what he is, everyone. You know, he'll change eventually, but look at what he is right now. And I don't care what he is right now.
Yeah.
I care about what he will become. And I want him to change even further than that. I don't want his character development to be the things that I read in comic books already. If that's
yeah.
the case, I can read the comic books. You know, I mean, it's that simple. But
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll see what happens there. It comes out 2015. Danny referenced the fact that Captain America will also be coming out that same weekend. And sadly, you know, it's probably going to win out. I mean, there's no, other than the fact that it's Superman and Batman, which, yes, you know, but if you've seen Captain America 2, your tickets are already bought. You're already bought.
Yeah,
tickets.
And it's the exact same directors, the same writers, and they already said the plot is Cap and Falcon hunting down the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where it's just, even if you don't know those things, still, if you've seen Captain America 2, you already know you're going to see Captain America 3.
Yeah.
And it's that simple, you know? But if you've seen Batman in the past, and if you've seen The Last Superman, you're probably not sold on Batman versus Superman. You're
mm-hmm.
going to think it's cool because it's Batman versus Superman, but I don't think you're going to be sold. Nothing about the last movie made you think, if there will be another one of these, I must see it!
Exactly.
Captain America 2... Yeah, I mean, it's crack. You need more. You need it.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, on crack's note, we will be ending today's show. I would like to also mention, though, Anthony, you have an Instagram called Geek4LifeBlog. Geek, the number 4, Life Blog. And tell people what you do on that Instagram, Anthony.
I post a few different comic-related things, but my main thing is custom figures.
Right. And when you say custom figures, you mean not actually making molds or crazy things like that. No, you refer to taking a figure, let's say, speaking of Captain America, let's say, a Captain America figure, and you will repaint it to look as if maybe it's a figure from the movie, or vice versa.
Exactly. I can repaint,
right.
I can kit bash, all of that.
Right, and kit bash involves you maybe using figures and little things from other sets. And being able to put them together, let's say, to give Captain America a more maybe movie-looking gun or even comic book-related that makes him look more like, you know, from the comics compared to maybe what Marvel or whatever company has made via the figures. Is that correct?
Exactly.
All right. And on that note, we'll be leaving. I would like to say thank you guys for listening to those guys. Definitely check out Anthony's blog, his Instagram, the Geek Number 4 Life blog, and definitely PM him about some requests. I mean, he does some cool stuff if you check him out there.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks.
And again, thank you guys. Signing off. And have some lovely Nicolas Cage, won't you?
Bye.